right, stop laying hands on people. I see you over there. I see you people laying hands on people. Feels good, don't it? Get some organ music going. Get power in your hands. I have the power of God in my hands. Put your hand in the hand of the man of God. Yeah, that's old school. Old school. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. We left off yesterday with a list of foundational things the Hebrews were supposed to skedaddle out of. And another one of these things was the imposition of hands, laying on of hands, for the conveyance of spiritual benefits. Now, yeah, this used to happen in the old days. It's physical. We don't need that today because God directly imparts His Spirit to us from heaven, and He doesn't have hands, so it just comes to us. It's a spiritual blessing again. Anytime you see this physical stuff, chances are it's circumcision. So forget the laying on of hands. By the way, we're in Hebrews chapter 6. Forget the imposition of hands. I mean, now, I think this means that, of course, you lay on your hands to get blessings. Forget about it. Go on from it. It's a simple teaching. Now, we would say don't do it at all. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if it's something that was dumb and they're supposed to stop doing it, or it's a great thing. Get over it and go on. I think it's a great thing, and they're supposed to keep doing it, but just, like, don't make a big deal of it. Like, don't get on TV and say, put your hands on the hands of the man of God. That's Ernest Angley. You're not supposed to do that. Stupid. And move on. Get more spiritual here. So you notice the physicality of all these things. At least I hope you do. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, sorry I didn't get that posted on Monday, but my schedule got a little out of kilter, so it's no problem. Here we are today. So don't forget to listen to Monday's show. It'll introduce you to these six things. I think we did four of them. Now we're in the imposition of hands. It's not for us. Our benefits are conveyed spiritually from heaven, from God. He doesn't have hands. Back in the old day, yeah, they anointed kings too. They poured oil on their heads. So to anoint, to pour oil. Christ means anointed, means oily one. Actually, the word Christ means oily one. Yeah. You're anointed with oil. We don't need to do that today. We're in Christed by the sheer power of God's declaration, the Spirit of God entering in us invisibly and yet with fruit. That's how we know. How do I know? I don't feel anything on my head. There's no big hand. God didn't impose His hand. We know God's Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're children of God, so it's a spiritual matter. You just know that you know that you know, and plus you have some spiritual fruit. Don't get discouraged, you know, Galatians chapter 5, if you don't have all the fruit of the Spirit in one day. It's not going to happen that way. It doesn't happen in a day. It's a protracted affair. Remember, we're growing in the growth of God. That's a scriptural phrase. I don't know where it is, but it is a scriptural phrase. Well, that same verse that talks about the joints and the sinews of the body, 1 Corinthians somewhere. I got it pegged to 1 Corinthians. And it's growing in the growth of God. The growth of God is not as quick as we would like. It's the growth of God, not the growth of Martin Zender. Because if it was the growth of Martin Zender, it would be a zap, an instantaneous zap. And I would feel God's hand on my head, and all things would be good. And I would walk perfectly. I would be pure and holy. Right, well, I'm holy in declaration, I'm separated unto God, but pure, well, to the pure, all things are pure. To the clean, all things are clean. So, you know, maybe I'm farther along that road than I think I am. I don't give myself much credit. Other times I do. Today, I'm middle of the road. But anyway, all I know is this imposition of the hands, leave it to Israel. Leave baptism to Israel. Leave circumcision to Israel. Leave repentance to Israel, unless you're just going to talk about a generic changing of the mind, change your attitude toward God. I say, look, you know, God has declared peace. On His side of the window pane, it's all peace. Just believe that and your life will go better. Quit thinking that you're scaring Him and He's wondering when you're going to stop messing up and ready to pull the rug out from under you. No, I want you to change your mind concerning that false teaching that you got from Christianity. Now, the next thing is resurrection from the dead. Let's go back to the text here. Sorry, I keep banging my headphones on the microphone here. Chapter 6, Hebrews, teaching of baptizings besides imposition of hands and the resurrection of the dead. This is a very foundational doctrine. This is one of those things I told you, just like the salvation of all, the sovereignty of God. Foundational, simple. Dead people have to raise from the dead. But you know what? Christians don't even know about this. How can I say that? Because they don't believe in death. They believe that you didn't know this about Christians? Yeah, You might be one of them. No, you're not. No, you're not one of them. If somebody's eavesdropping over your shoulder and just want to know what's going on with this Martin Zender show, they might be one of them, in which case, listen up. Listen up, Christian, looking over the shoulder of a Body of Christ member. You probably don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And yet the resurrection of the dead is said to be a foundational teaching that the Hebrews were supposed to move past. Now, you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead because you don't believe people die. You believe in the immortality of the soul, like Plato believed. Plato, Aristotle, the Greeks, pagan philosophy. And it's also the philosophy of Satan, thou shalt not surely die. Read the book of Genesis. You'll find that cute little statement from Satan. His first lie, you won't die. God said you'll die? Nah, you ain't gonna die. You believe him. What? Yeah. Why do you believe Satan? Resurrection from the dead. If people who die aren't really dead, they either go to heaven or hell, then why how can you resurrect them? You can't. They're already alive. Resurrection is made a mockery. You make a fool out of God who says that the glory is resurrection. No, the glory is death. We should just all celebrate at funerals. It's natural to cry at funerals, not celebrate, because people apart from religion realize that death sucks. And it's not to be alive. The dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. Revelation 25. Or it's 10. I never know that one. Well, I always get confused. If 5:10 or 25. It's either Revelation 5:10 or 25. It's been 25 years now and I still don't have that figured out. All I got to do is check on it and then make some kind of memory trick. But I can't do it. So check out both. You'll find it. All right, now here's the killer verse. I've been kind of looking forward to this. Because Christians, sorry to keep saying that word, but people who are in the club of Christianity, of which Jesus Christ himself is not a member, watch the last YouTube video. Go to martinzender.com or go to YouTube. Go to youtube.com and look up God Hates Organized Religion. For this is verse 4 of Hebrews 6. For it is impossible for those, you remember this? Have you heard this before? Have you heard this leveled against you, this accusation? This is so misinterpreted, twisted, and made to apply to people who it cannot possibly apply to. For it is impossible for those once enlightened, besides tasting the celestial gratuity and becoming partakers of Holy Spirit and tasting the ideal declaration of God, besides the powerful deeds of the impending eon and falling aside, to be renewing them again to repentance while crucifying for themselves the Son of God again and holding him up to infamy. All right, awkward wording here. There's a parenthetical statement here which really ruins the whole thought. I hate the way this person writes, which is Paul, of course. You already know my problems here. It's impossible for those once enlightened and falling aside to be renewing them again to repentance while crucifying for themselves the Son of God again. What I did was I got rid of the parenthetical insertion there. Besides tasting the celestial gratuity, becoming partakers of Holy Spirit, tasting the ideal declaration of God, besides the powerful deals of the impending eon. I got rid of that and went right to the main point. So this is how this is understood and taught in Christianity, which means it's wrong, is that once people believe in Jesus Christ and they fall aside, that is, they backslide. And believe me, your church will define for you what backsliding means according to them. One church, the backsliding might be quitting church. If you quit church, you've backslid, and you might not even be saved, because it's impossible for, if you were once enlightened, coming to our church is obviously the epitome of enlightenment, and if you decided that church was terrible, and you quit it, you've backslid, and you've fallen aside, and now you can't renew it again to repentance, you lost your salvation, you never get it back. Or, the Baptists might say that you were caught at the movie theater, or you were caught dancing, or you were caught parting your hair on the wrong side, or wearing wire-rimmed glasses. All these things, honest to God, Clyde has told me they used to tell him growing up as a Baptist. Can't wear wire-rimmed glasses, can't part your hair. Oh, it's down the middle. Can't part your hair down the middle. It's of the devil, don't you know? And rock and roll music, of the devil. I mean, boom, ch, boom, boom, ch, boom, ch, boom, boom, ch. Yeah, that's Satan music. Boom, boom, ch, boom, ch, boom, boom. Yeah, that's evil. Mm-hmm. Eternal torment, though, is fine. Yeah, if you believe that God's going to eternally torment most people forever, yeah, that's a holy pure teaching. But boom, ch, boom, boom, this, boom, ch, boom, boom, that's evil. Don't go anywhere near the evil rock and roll. This is not about this whatsoever, as you might have guessed. We're talking about those once enlightened who tasted the celestial gratuity. Guess what the name of this book is? Hebrews. This is written to Hebrews. They tasted this, and you can't do this. Why? Because you're saved by grace. If somebody thinks that if you fall away, if you screw up, that you can lose your eternal salvation, they must believe that there's something you did to earn your eternal salvation. If it was won by works, it's lost by works. You win by works, you die by works. You must not be really reading the rest of the Bible, namely Romans 3:28, we're reckoning man to be saved by grace apart from works of law. We're talking in the realm here of Hebrews of works of law. It's the fact that those were once enlightened, and read the context, having tasted the celestial gratuity. What's that? All the cool stuff that happened at Pentecost, the celestial gratuity, partakers of Holy Spirit, Peter, tongues, all this magnificent, all these magnificent miracles that were happening in the book of Acts, tasting the ideal declaration of God. They didn't just know it, they tasted it. Peter raises the dead, right? And all sorts of cool things happen. Read the whole book of Acts, miracle after miracle. It's just a continuation of the miracles Jesus did. And besides the powerful deeds of the impending eon, I'm quoting verse 5. What's the impending eon? It's the kingdom eon, the 1,000-year kingdom on earth. Those Hebrews back in that day, they witnessed the powerful deeds of the impending eon. And if they fall aside from that, because remember, an Israelite needs signs. He needs wonders. He needs to see that cool, miraculous stuff at Pentecost where everybody hears Peter in their own language. You see, and if they fall aside from that, if their faith is based on those works, it's impossible to be renewing them again to repentance. Why? Because those works were done once and they're not going to be repeated. So they're not going to be able to renew their faith in works when the works are no longer there. And again, that's the condition the Hebrews find themselves in. There's no longer all these miracles going on. Because if they do that, they crucify for themselves the Son of God again and hold him up to infamy. Now, it's impossible to crucify the Son of God again. So you're supposed to get the point here. You're supposed to get the point that it is impossible to crucify Christ again. So it would be just as impossible for you to go back to what you were, that is, a person who needs to see these amazing wonders and miracles when they're not going to be repeated. It's a way to say, go on. It's a way to say, keep walking past the rudiments. Because if you go back to disturb the rudiments, to disrupt the rudiments, while you're back there, you're going to start looking for those things that brought you in the first place, the miracles. And people today want miracles. Christians want miracles. Back then, and a lot of the miracles are false, but back then they were real, but they went away. And so you might as well want Christ to be crucified. Why don't you just go back and stand at Calvary? Just stand at Calvary 40 years after the event and wait for Christ to be crucified again. It's that stupid to do that. You might as, you know, if you're going to be founding your faith, if you need to see those miracles again, like, I wasn't quite sure if Peter really raised that guy. Can I go back and see that one? No, it was done once. It was a foundation. It happened. Quit trying to go back and check on it in your mind. Quit doubting it. Just, you can't, if you fall away, if you don't go on, that is, if you fall away, you're going to make a mockery of Christ because you keep wanting the past to repeat itself. It's not going to repeat itself. So there's a dual lesson here. If you're basing your faith on works and you want to renew your faith, you can't renew it on the thing that already passed by. So just establish yourself that that's what happened, believe it, and move on. And the other edge of that thing is that Christians today who want works, they're in an administration now that's of grace. And they're in an administration of walking by faith, not perception. So they're not going to get the works either. Works belong to the circumcision. I think I got more to say on that. I'm not sure. I'll check, see if I have any more notes on that. But I notice my time is out for today. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll tie up a loose end there if we need it. And then onward in Hebrews chapter 6. We'll